irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Power of Love Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Power of Love, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. I am TJ Jackson, and with me I have both of my brothers, Terrell and Taj Jackson. How are you guys?
Hello.
Hey. I was trying to sound like Taj.
Did I trick you?
That does sound
I did like trick you.
You didn't trick me, but that does sound like Taj.
You looked confused.
No. That was good. What's up, Taj?
Not too much.
I had your mic down.
I know. You always have my mic down.
I don't know why, Taj, but I tend to always give you the short end of this.
Thing. It's all right.
We have a great show today.
Yes, we do.
We have a great show. But before we get on, we have to say thank you to everyone who's listening in on the Power of Love show. If you're wanting to contribute or to pose a question or
participate,
make sure you do so. You could do it through Twitter at DDJ Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Taj?
Yep. I'm looking at it right now.
You can call in. You want to give that number, Taj?
I got it. Nice. The number you can call in is 323-203-0815. Once again, that's 323-203-0815.
Okay, so we're not licensed therapists. We're just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we've learned from it. And we want to share our opinions and attempt to help you overcome whatever it is you're going through. So saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Do not just rely on us. Let's get straight into our weeks, because we have guests today from Break the Cycle. It's Teen Dating Awareness Month in February. So we're going to get into that. That's what our show is about. But first, we're going to talk about our weeks. Terrell, how was your week?
It was good. I wasn't here last week, obviously, but I listened in. You guys held it down. Good show.
How do we do?
You do well.
Okay, good.
Do well. I was going to call in, but...
It's funny, because whenever I miss, I feel the same way. I want to call in, but...
Yeah,
I don't want to break the rhythm.
It was good. I had a doctor's appointment with Adrian.
Okay.
My week was good. We started baseball, so we had our first practice.
Okay.
Which went okay.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the Super Bowl was this weekend.
Yeah, what'd you guys think?
I thought the game... You know what's funny? It's like, I feel whenever the Patriots are in it, it's always entertaining.
Okay.
Because... It's
always close.
It's close.
But
it comes
to be
honest, to that last play.
Most of our listeners don't really care about the game. They want to know what you thought about the Justin Timberlake
halftime
performance.
What'd
you think?
I thought it was okay. I thought it was safe. I thought it wasn't anything special.
Mm-hmm.
I strongly feel he should have brought some people out.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I can remember, you know, thinking back to Beyonce... She brought out Destiny's Child. She brought out a few other guests, I think.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, the thing is it's such a wide audience. Mm-hmm. And not everybody loves that particular audience
mm-hmm.
or that particular artist. So it's always nice to give some other alternatives.
Yep.
And I just felt that he lacked that. And it's, to me, it came off a little bit selfish. Where it's like he wanted all the, you know,
I get it.
On. But I felt he should have brought out NSYNC. You know, he should have. And I think he should have also at least extended the invitation to Auntie Janet. She didn't have to do it, whatever.
Okay, but we're also assuming he didn't make those invitations.
Yeah, maybe so he did not. I don't think he did it to NSYNC.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Because I think NSYNC, you know, they love performing and they love that.
I agree.
You know?
I actually think he did not invite NSYNC, but did invite Auntie Janet.
I don't think he did.
I do.
If he did, I think she would have said something. I think she would have said that.
I think she said exactly what she would have said if she got invited and didn't want to do it, which is to
quote. She didn't say I got invited, but I'm
no. I think no. She said just to stop any speculation, I will not be participating. I think she's upset, and I actually think she's rightfully upset on how the first time
went around. Oh, yeah, for sure.
And how she got all the backlash mm-hmm. and was left on an island.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, my opinion, she was probably asked mm-hmm. and didn't do it.
I don't think she was asked.
Oh, interesting.
If NSYNC didn't do it, I don't think
no. She... There's a he wants to get that crowd that would support Auntie Janet. So the NSYNC crowd is the same crowd that supports Justin Timberlake.
Personally, I think he just didn't want to touch it. Which was weird because he did the same song.
Which is why I think he did.
No.
Negative. Taj, how was your? Do you want to talk about that?
Do you think she was invited?
He already said he did.
I do think that. I don't know if he personally talked to her, but I think that someone talked to someone, you know, like through the, you know, management or something.
No.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about why
I think so? Because he's very, I'm not going to be mean, but his career is calculated, and I think that's a calculated move to do that, to invite Auntie Janet would be smart.
Yeah.
But it'd be smart to invite and sing, too.
Depends.
Depends how you see it, sadly. We believe it's smart, and I do think it's smart, but when you're from that perspective...
And you have a new album coming out.
And you have a new album coming, you got to make choices.
Beyonce did it. She did it with Destiny's Child.
The first time, right?
Well...
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not...
She was headlining one time, and then the next time she came out with Britney.
We never know. Anything else you want to talk about? We have guests here.
Taj, nothing excited this past week?
Hey, the Super Bowl was... I was rooting for the Eagles, and they won, so I have nothing else to say.
That was good to see.
I'm excited.
All right, so... I think you hit it right there, Terrell, because normally we talk about it individual weeks, but the Super Bowl and the halftime performance was enough to talk about, especially when we have two guests with us from Break the Cycle. As we said, this month, February, is Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, and we have with us back from Break the Cycle. We did a show with them a couple weeks ago. We had Tanji Reese, and she is back with us today. How are you, Tanji?
All right. Well, how are you guys doing?
We're doing
great.
Tanji, jeez. I have to take all the blame for that. That's my mistake. I had you on mute, so I apologize. Oh. But go ahead. How are you?
I'm good. How are you all doing?
We are good. And today you brought Tatsumi Romano. Romano.
Yes.
Dang it.
No, it's
terrible. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks. How are you?
Good. You guys are both with Break the Cycle, yeah?
Yes. Yeah. So I work at Break the Cycle, but Tatsumi has been working with us for a while. We before had a National Youth Advisory Board that she was a part of, and then she went on to help us bring together Let's Be Real, our youth-led movement.
Nice. Good for you.
Thank you
so much. I know you're not supposed to ask females what their age is, but I did. But you don't have to say it here, but I can attest you are an adult and you're a young adult.
Yes, I'm 19.
Okay, she's 19. But
for legal reasons, we have to say that you're over 18.
But I commend you for doing some type of give back and volunteering and or helping out at such a young age. I think it's a great thing, and you know we're older than you, and it's something that I can strongly attest to. So commend you for that as a youngster.
No, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay, so. Teen Dating Awareness Month. I have a list of questions I'm going to ask you guys. But first, is there anything you want to start the show off with or state about Teen Dating Awareness Month?
Yeah, so this February is Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. And our theme for Break the Cycle is Healthy Me, Healthy We. That was actually created by our Let's Be Real members. So the young people ages 12 to 24 that we work with. And they picked that because they wanted to focus a lot on self-care, and healing, and making sure that we're whole when we're feeling good about ourselves before we get into relationships. And after, too, you know, after leaving an abusive relationship or just having a breakup in general, it can be kind of hard to get yourself back together. So that's our theme this month, is focusing on self-love and taking care of ourselves.
Beautiful. So talking about taking care of yourselves, Taj sent me a video as a parent. I'm a parent. And he said it was a video I had to watch.
Yeah.
Is there a reason why I didn't get one?
Huh? It's on Netflix.
Wait, time out. It's on Netflix. I asked you if it was on Netflix, and you said no.
It's on
Netflix. You made me download on your thumb drive.
Yeah. It's on Netflix. Well, that's because you're a Netflix user, too.
Come on, man. You could have just told me that. But anyway.
Hey, sometimes you have to go through hoops to get the good stuff.
Anyway, I don't think you got it, Terrell, for two reasons. Because your boys are younger, and two, because they're boys. Was that accurate, Taj?
For now.
Or did you forget?
No, he didn't forget.
No.
They're too young for this.
And I didn't see you at the Super Bowl.
Okay.
That's when I gave it to him.
So anyway, it's a documentary called Liberated. And as a parent, I'm a young parent of a teen. I kind of imagined what it was and knew what it was. And to kind of say what it was about in a way, in a short way, it's kind of the disrespect that men kind of, or boys kind of, put on females.
Should I just say the summary since I'm looking at it right here?
Why are you making me say all this?
Well, because you called me out, now I'm calling you out. Okay.
Go ahead.
It says, it's called Liberated, the New Sexual Revolution. And it says, filmmakers explore how pop culture shapes a new generation's beliefs about gender, sexuality, and violence on display among students on spring break.
Yeah.
So it really focused more on spring break culture, but just the mindset of youth and how they view relationships and love and all that stuff.
So that doesn't really encompass what Break the Cycle is, but just the fact that I saw it last night, I may have bring some of that feedback in, if that's okay.
Okay, yeah, I haven't seen it, but I'll...
it's a little shakening, to be honest.
Yeah.
It makes me concerned about my females and my girls as they get older. But I'm going to start one of my list of questions with, what is dating like for youngsters today? Like, back in the day, it was more like courtship, and we didn't have internet or social media, so we had to, like, you know, gather all of our confidence and ask a girl out or something in person. But how is it different today?
You know, I think you bring up a really good point in that social media definitely adds, like, a new aspect to all of this. I think dating can look like a bunch of things, from going out to dinner and actively having new experiences together, all the way to, you know, the hookup culture that's super prevalent right now.
Yeah.
Young people can experience really healthy relationships with really good communication, as well as really unhealthy relationships and even abusive relationships.
Yeah. So would you say it is about communication? Is that one of the main things that we have to encourage our youngsters to do?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, as we get older, it becomes, I don't know if easier, but we are able to practice more how to be assertive and how to communicate our needs. But I think in, you know, a time that self-discovery is so big and we're learning about who we are and everything's really confusing, it can be really tricky.
Mm. I'm curious, having seen this movie, I know you guys haven't seen it yet, but how does, like, peer pressure in terms of among your peers, you know, affect you in that way too, like your friends and stuff like that? Because in this movie, a lot of it was like trying to just live up to that coolness that their friends were like expected from them in that way, in terms of, oh, you have to hook up with this person because, you know, in both sides, the guys and the girls kind of felt that way in a certain way.
You know, I think young people are really more susceptible than any other population to peer pressure, especially since, I don't know, our sense of self is still really developing. Mm. And a lot of times we don't know what we want or how to express that. So I think peer pressure is something that is often talked about in schools, but it's really more of like a textbook conversation, and seeing it happen in real life is completely different.
Yeah, I think you hit it right there, because I think the textbook version of it is completely kind of...
Don't do drugs.
Yeah. It's a little distant and a little foreign compared to what you guys really have to go through as youngsters. And I would assume one advice I think I would have for parents is to encourage your children to kind of follow on their social media, you know, I don't say positive, but obviously positive, but not so. Because the thing I worry about as a father of a daughter is that I'm worried about who she's going to follow, because there's a lot of people out there that you can follow where it's really just about body and sexual stuff. And I think it kind of misguides our kids to think that that's what they need to do. And it gives them that false sense of identity. And I think that can lead to attracting the wrong kind of people and just the wrong type of desire that you want. They're going down the wrong path. And that's something that's now, for the first time, we're having experience, because we didn't have social media like you guys do. So it's still learning, but that's from my perspective what the first thing to do. You guys kind of agree? Or?
Yeah, I think that you made a good point. Like, a lot of things are a lot more accessible now, and it's easier to get flooded with those type of like negative images and information, and it's normalized. It's not that big of a deal, you know, for folks to act certain ways, or some things that may not be okay, like some things that are unhealthy, and we may be able to recognize as a warning sign aren't always easy, because if it's flooded with it, then it seems like, well, this is how life should go, especially with like even like TV and movies and stuff too.
Yeah.
Those images are there. So I think that's good, just including positive things as a part of it to counter it, and making sure, like you said, following pages on social media that are positive, making sure to even open up those conversations if something negative does come up,
right.
Being able and willing to kind of open that up and say, what do you see when you see this? Do you think this is okay or not okay? And that can be a really good way to start a conversation.
Talking about conversation, we have someone on the phone with us.
Ooh.
Who's on the line on the Power of Love show? Hello?
Great.
My bad. Call back whoever that was. I know. I'm messing up, huh?
Yeah, you're struggling.
It's okay.
I don't want to say anything. Terrell's warming up in the bullpen.
I'm ready. I love technology, and I think it's great, but there's definitely positive and negatives about it. I just feel sometimes that the technology moves so fast that even on the parent side, it's hard to keep up with everything. And, of course, with the youngsters out there, they want to use all the technology they can. And a lot of the times now, they're ahead of us, the parent side, mm-hmm. of using it. And you can't really control, you can't monitor everything, you know. And just there's so, thinking back, you know, to our dating years, there used to be little rules like if you get someone's number, you wouldn't call them right away. You'd wait like a day or two, you know. So I'm thinking now with all the social media, it's like, Are there different rules where you don't like a page or like a post?
I don't even and we're just going to talk as old people, but I don't even think like kids even think that way. I think it's all social media.
Is it
you
all
just
social?
Like a picture or you say something on a comment. I don't know. It's different. Okay.
Are people connecting?
Well, no. Here's the question. What should us adults know about relationships for young people? She's like, you guys are old.
I think the biggest thing that a lot of adults don't realize is that young people are so capable of feeling such a magnitude of emotions and even hardships that can often be really minimized by adults, you know, like, oh, you're only 15. What could you have experienced? And I think regardless of your personal opinion and whether that's how you truly feel, it's important to really support and validate young people and what they're feeling. Not only are young people trying to figure out and express themselves in a super vulnerable way that they may not have done before, but they're also trying to figure out what they're okay with and what they're not okay with. And it's important to remember that this process can be really confusing for young people,
mm-hmm.
and just supporting and validating how they're feeling in their own process of discovery.
Good stuff.
That's a great point. Yeah. For me, and I'm obviously not a girl, but
say it like this: you're the oldest one here.
I am the oldest one here. But for me, my mom was very instrumental in making sure that all my emotions weren't trivialized. You know, in terms of like, oh, you know, you're so young, as you said, like I think that's a very bad trap that parents can do is like, well, don't worry, it gets better when you're older and all. And like, you have to really be in the know and in the now right now in terms of talking to them and being like, okay, what can I do? How can I help you? As opposed to being like, well, why are they reacting this way? You know, there's so many bigger problems that they're going to face or whatever. But to them, that is a huge problem right then and there. And I think that's from the research, and TJ said it right, we're not licensed therapists or whatever, but just in terms of like suicide and stuff like that, teen suicide, a lot of it has to do with no one understanding them or thinking that they don't have anyone to talk to or that no one gets them in that way. And that's because people are, I think people poo-poo it or foof, like
I don't know.
They don't know the seriousness of it, or they say, oh, it's not as serious as you're making mm-hmm. it sound, but it to them it is, and that's the thing that we have to understand.
Yeah, I think that's really true with relationships in general. It's a lot easier to just brush it off as like puppy love, mm-hmm. but we cannot remember how it feels to be 15 or in having our first like crush mm-hmm. or whatever. Like mm-hmm. that was the center of our everything,
mm-hmm.
and that's a big reason why we're promoting Healthy Me, Healthy We, because we want folks to know, like, you know, it's okay to be yourself, and it's good to think about what you want and mm-hmm. your boundaries and things you're okay with. And one thing you mentioned, like, on social media, I think that dating kind of has put into social media, too. Social media isn't just, like, oh, we're going to update on stuff like that. It's a lot of times social media means more to folks. And a lot of like relationship issues can come up for young people through social media. And so they use it to communicate with each other. Like, I think it's, we should also keep in mind, like, for them, that's their culture. Mm-hmm. You know, that's young people's culture, and it's a part of it. And yeah. So as adults, you got to think about, how can we offer tools if we can't keep up? Because I can't even keep up with it.
Yeah.
But how can we offer tools so that they know how to navigate those spaces and know how to still keep their sense of self, you know, while still being flooded with all that stuff?
When you guys spend time with youngsters, that's like a young, an old.
It sounded so old.
All right. One thing I've noticed with young people is that the idea of a relationship, what the word relationship means, is completely different than how I know it. And it seems like, you know, from the outside, it seems like a lot of times both sides, boys and girls, aren't respecting what a relationship is as much. It's a lot more fragile, the relationship. Am I accurate in that assumption?
So one of the programs we have are called Real Talk Sessions. So we go into spaces and we have honest, open conversations about relationships. And that's one that comes up all the time. And we'll ask, are relationships considered to be serious or casual? And a lot of times it's kind of serious. It just depends on the people. And that's the answer we get a lot, is that when we talk about dating, for a lot of young people, that does mean something more serious. But there are also levels to it, that relationships don't start once you say I'm boyfriend, girlfriend. Relationships start when I get your number and we're talking, or like we start to message each other back and forth and we say we like each other, and then we can become a thing.
But Tanya, here's my question, Tanya. I feel like because of that being the way it goes down, because that's what technology's done and that's the method, I feel like the respect factor between boys and girls, and really I'm going to speak from a male, that boys don't respect females as much because it's not as emotionally connected, and which could lead to disrespect, violence, aggression, all those. It can lead to all those things because I don't feel like the boys, the young men, are really connecting properly.
I think it can be both. I think it honestly can be young men and young women. I think that it's a big casualness that happens in relationships, and dating seem like such a serious thing. But what we teach is that no matter how serious or how casual your relationship is, that it has potential to be healthy, unhealthy, or even abusive. Mm. Like if you're talking to someone and you just start to kick it or whatever, mess around, whatever it is, and the person is being rude, or the person is not respecting your boundaries or pressuring, those are big warning signs, and that's a sign of unhealthiness. And so those things can be viewed at and looked at early. So I think as adults, it's important for us to acknowledge the fact that even at the talking phase, we should still take it serious for them, and they should still think about it as like, this is still a relationship you're engaging in with the person, and we still want to look out for those warning signs too, because again, no matter how serious or casual, it has a potential to be abusive or unhealthy.
What are some ways for parents to start a dialogue with their kids about relationships? Because now it seems more than ever that parents don't understand kids. So what are ways to connect with the kids?
I think it's important, first of all, to really plant that seed of having a support system. I think at the end of the day, whether the relationship goes anywhere or not, your child may or may not come to you, but it's important that they feel like they have that space to do so. I think even just in the most casual setting, saying, hey, how are you doing? How is it going with so-and-so? And I feel like if a young person knows that you're really listening and you don't have a set agenda of trying to break them up or trying to see something going somewhere, but really just having a conversation, that is the best way to connect with young people.
Mm. Great. That's a great point.
Yeah. Why are you smiling?
No, I think it's
they're
all
both parents. I'm not a parent, so I'm listening to it completely different
well,
than
neither
they are.
Am I.
Yeah.
Often what I find myself doing is I look back. Sorry, what are you going to say?
what you doing? You having conversations with Bryce or something?
No, often what I find myself doing, you don't let me finish.
Okay.
I think back, because my son's 9, he's about to be 10 in 2 weeks. I often think back to what I was doing at that age, what I was going through as a 9-year-old, as a 10-year-old. I know where I was when I was in fourth grade. However, the rules have changed so much. There's so many other things out there. Information's being, you know, available to him, whether he wants to or does it by accident. There's things out there. You know, everything's technology. He has to use an iPad for school. He needs a computer for homework, this, that, and the other. And he's going on YouTube, and he's seeing things and all of that. It's so different than it was when I was a child. So there's a whole different set of rules that I have to think about, you know? My question is, how are people meeting? I mean, my son, I'm not saying for my son, I'm just saying overall, who's 10. But for the kids that are getting around, whatever, the dating age, when is it happening and how are they meeting people? Is it through social media? Is it, how are they meeting? Because I know we didn't have social media.
Hashtag.
No, but I'm serious. Like, how are people connecting?
I think that it's some parts are still, like, people start dating in school. Like, that school is a really big factor.
Okay.
Because that's where you see people a lot. I think some young people still are, like, using online as a way to meet other folks, too. And using that as a means to meet people as well. But I still feel like some things are still, like, old school. Like, people are still, like, getting to know each other in that way in school, in the school setting. That's what I've learned from still talking to young people, or even the same ways that we would connect when we were younger with folks. Mm. I don't think that technology has changed that part of it so much.
Okay.
It has changed the accessibility to other folks, though. Mm. I know for me, like, the first couple times I heard about, like, a 13-year-old or 14-year-old who had a partner that was long distance, and they, like, you know, maybe met up a couple times, but they spent most of their time on the phone and through, like, you know, texting on the phone and stuff. And so I, you know, in my adultism, then think about that a long distance relationship is not an adult issue. Like, that can be something that a young person can be dealing with too. And how, you know, how can we support that as well? And in this particular situation, the person, they were in, like, two different, for them, long distance was, like, they're, like, a county over. Mm-hmm. So they were, like, a county over, and they their partner wanted to make sure that they called them every night at the same time, and they had to always, like, be at home or always be available when the person called. So there are still, like, those issues that may seem very adult that are happening to young people, too. And so, again, I think it's important to think about, like, beyond, like, when we were younger, but think about even now, like, what are some relationship things that people can be going through right now that it's a chance a young person might be experiencing it too.
Mm. And when you say that someone may say you have to be home by a certain time, to me, that kind of demand can lead to some type of violence or some type of negative relationship.
Yeah.
As a parent, how do I encourage my daughter or my son to be strong enough to not be susceptible to those kind of demands? What advice would you give me to bolster my kids' confidence or, you know, independence in a sense?
Yeah, that's exactly the word, independence. That's one thing that we teach a lot, is that you have a right to have freedom and space. Before you got into the relationship, before you start liking this person, before you were around them, you had your own friends, your own likes, you had your schedule, and that shouldn't change just because you're with that person. And knowing that, like, if you feel like you can't, if you have that feeling of dread when talking to that person, or maybe you want to go have fun, but you start to get this gnawing feeling that if you are having fun, that this person might be upset, or that if you're not available, this person might, you know, have a problem with it, then that's a big warning sign. So just encouraging, like, that independence and that freedom. And that can start from, like, the time they're younger. Like, giving them space to say if they don't want something, or they are okay, or, you know, giving them space to say no, and teaching that no is not a bad word, that it's okay to say what you don't want and what you're not okay with. And then also not being afraid to explain things. I think sometimes, too, we kind of wait to have these conversations until they start to date, but they should really happen, like, 3, 4, 5, you know, when they start, because that...
3, 4, 5, what?
Years old.
Years old?
Three?
Talking about, like, it's okay to say no and your own boundaries. We asked another question we asked in our Real Talks are, tell me a story about your first crush.
Okay.
A lot of times people are like, oh, I remember when I was in first grade and I liked this person and I pulled their hair and we started to go together. So just talking really young, about boundaries and about saying no and about you having your freedom and being able to make your choices.
Great. Okay. And then last time you guys were here, you told me a stat that still rattles my mind. 1 out of every 3 young people experience physical or sexual violence by a dating partner.
Yeah.
That's just mind-boggling and sad and crazy. Do you think that number is getting worse or better? Or that's my first question.
Yeah, with statistics is hard because that's based off of who reported. Mm-hmm. Now, 1 in 3 young people are reporting it. Just imagine the number of people who have not reported it, who mm-hmm. have not told anyone what happened. So I can't say if that is the number is getting worse or better. What I can say is that I do believe that more people are seeking out resources and more people are starting to pay attention. Like we were actually talking about that earlier, how more people are starting to pay attention to abuse not being okay and mm-hmm. disrespecting someone's boundaries not being okay. And that those things are way more taboo than like talking about it in general, because people didn't want to talk about dating abuse before, and now it's like if you do it, it's not okay, and people are less about like victim blaming and that kind of thing. So I think that that's allowing more folks to feel comfortable and safe saying that, you know, this is happening.
Any approaches us as parents should be connecting with our kids to find out if our kid is 1 of 3? Anything you recommend?
So talking. Just starting that conversation and understanding for yourself those dynamics of dating abuse. Education is so powerful, and being, you know, aware of what warning signs there are. And what's something we talked about last time are, you know, what are some warning signs of, like, a person maybe experiencing it. So look at, like, how they are interacting with their friends. Like maybe they were really into sports or something before, but now all of a sudden mm-hmm. they don't want to do it because they want to be around the other person all the time. Or maybe they got really good grades before, but now since they started dating this person, their grades aren't, you know, as good. Yeah. So it's paying attention to those kind of things. You know, not being afraid to ask questions, letting them know that you're a support system and you're there because you care about them. You don't not there for them to get in trouble. Right. And they, you know, encouraging them that they have the right to have that healthy relationship.
Great. We are here with Tatsumi Romano and Tanji Reese. Why are you laughing?
Because I'm looking at her.
To see if I said it right?
Yeah, it looked like you.
Did I do okay?
Yeah, that was perfect.
Awesome. All right. So we are here, and they are with Break the Cycle. This February is Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. And you guys obviously have a website where anyone, I assume around the world, well, of course around the world, can access you guys and learn about dating violence.
Yeah.
What is the website?
The website is breakthecycle.org.
Beautiful.
And that you can find information about dating abuse, resources, learn more about some of our programs and what we do. And specifically for Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, you can go to breakthecycle.org/teendvmonth. And it's a bunch of stuff on there.
And one of the things on there is the 28 ways. Explain what that is.
Yeah, so usually we do like weeks for Teen DV Month, or people ask us, like, how can I get involved? What are some things that I can do? And we're strong believers that everyone can play a part in helping to prevent dating abuse, and everyone can do something, even though it can seem big or small. So we created this list of 28 things people can do. So it's like one thing a day. And they range from just learning about the types of abuse, just reading about it, to sharing things online. So there's a hashtag Teen DV Month, and following that hashtag and sharing something that stuck out to you. It can be following like our Instagram page. You put a bunch of stuff on there, and also sharing some information with other folks. So sharing resources with other people. Other things people can do that are more active is we have an activity called Talk About Love, where we chalkboard.
Okay.
So we encourage people to write out messages of love with chalk, and that's really good on like college campuses or even high school campuses, where people can like write messages about love, and they can express how they feel about it. Or you can do it with a piece of paper on a whiteboard, just sharing that message. And it's a hashtag for that too, Chocobot Love. So you can see like examples of it. Hosting a real talk, so just like we talked about having that conversation, opening up that, we have a guide actually that we give people tips on how to start conversations about relationships.
This is all on the website.
Yep, all on the website.
One of the 28 ways.
One of the 28 ways, okay. Yeah. So it's things about acting, education, sharing online, and doing some self-learning.
Okay, I still can't believe one out of three young people. That's just so crazy. Did you guys have any questions real quick? Or?
See,
I'll wait for you first.
Tanji kind of knows, but Tatsumi, this is what I have to deal with.
I thought he was about to talk, so I was letting him go.
No, I always like to add on, but go ahead. I do have something, but I was going to let you
know. Let's hear. I want to hear what you got, Taj.
Do you feel like more youths go to your online stuff, or do they like the interaction of in person in terms of...
You know, I think it really depends on the young person. I think sometimes, and I feel like nowadays it's a lot more acceptable just because of how large social media is. I think a lot of times it can be more comfortable for young people to go to social media and express their feelings that way, talk to a friend through texting opposed to being in person. I know I personally prefer something more face-to-face. But I know, like, a few years back, I was very insecure in talking about my feelings and asking for help in any sort of context. So I think it depends.
Okay.
Yeah.
can I ask you a question? Abuse versus violence. Is violence only physical?
So we actually like to use abuse a lot. Because when you hear violence, that's what you think of, physical, right? But domestic violence or dating violence is so much more than that. So that's a lot of times why we would use abuse, because it encompasses like that verbal and emotional, sexual, digital, stalking, all those other parts of abuse too.
You just named them. You kind of... Emotional / verbal abuse, physical abuse, financial abuse, sexual abuse, stalking, and digital abuse. And I think that's very important to kind of change the narrative into thinking beyond physical abuse. Because I agree with you. I think when people hear the word abuse, they think of just physical. And, I'm going to say there's many more ways. And I'm looking at your website. That's why. Anything else, Todd or Todd?
From the Twitter.
Yes.
I got Twitter.
Gigi. Gigi says, as a mother of two sons, one who is a young adult, also harmful is when one or both of the teens and young adults display their breakup on social media. It can get ugly and abusive.
That's very good.
Yeah, breakups is something that we're starting to pay attention to a lot more, because unfortunately what can happen sometimes when a person is abusive, they might use that breakup as leverage. So they might do things like threaten the person to like expose them or something after a breakup, or maybe the person is not even allowed to date, and saying, you know, threatening to tell their parents if they're dating. So on social media, a lot of times it can like blow up and it can explode, and the person might end up like being embarrassed by it. So I can understand that. And one of the resources that we have and we created based off of having Real Talks is a handout about breakups, because we know that that is a thing, and there is a possibility to have a healthy breakup, that breakups don't always have to be this big explosion and both feelings being heard and it's aired everywhere. So some of the things that we encourage folks to do, like if they are, you know, wanting to break up with someone, really thinking about why, like how they want to break up with the person, you know, is it safe for them to do it alone? Do they need to do it, you know, in a kind of public place? And then afterwards too, like if you need to cut ties and block the person and, you know, do that, then do what's safest for you, if that's something that you need, or just like being, you know, resolving things at that moment, using I feel messages instead of blaming. So just we offer some tips on like how to have a healthier breakup, but also we provide a resource too, because if something like that is happening, I'm sure a person will want someone to talk to you about it. And one of the things we promoted last time, too, was young people being able to text the number and talk to a peer advocate. Yeah. So So they can text love is as one word to 22522, and they can talk to a peer advocate about that, because breakups are tough enough, but having a breakup and then having it all exposed on social media, yeah. and if it's an abusive relationship, leaving that can be even more hard. So it's good to have someone to talk to about those things.
And there's a Snapchat thing too, right?
Yeah, we do. So we have a Snapchat show. Talk About It Tuesday. So on Tuesdays, we answer relationship questions. So if someone wants to ask us questions about how they can work through their relationships, we have... you can go on our website, breakthecycle.org, and there's info about that, and they can actually ask anonymous questions, and we'll answer them, usually with some tacos involved.
It's taco, right?
Taco. Yeah.
I remember that.
I miss our tacos.
Yeah. They were so good.
You guys are making me hungry.
Yeah.
Taj, Tara, I have you had a question.
Privacy. Do you think the youth now don't really understand the beauty of privacy? With all the social media out there, everybody's always doing live or chatting or taking pictures. Do you think our youth doesn't really understand or appreciate privacy? Is it out the window?
You know, I think in a sense there's almost a different expectation of privacy. I think that it's become normalized almost to constantly be on and available all the time. You know, when you're doing homework, oh, someone texts me, I have to look immediately. And I do think privacy in a more traditional sense has become a little warped. But I do think social media has also helped us really connect with other people in ways that we wouldn't have been able to, and connect us to resources like Break the Cycle that, you mm-hmm. know, many of us would not have been able to connect mm-hmm. with.
That's true. Something on your website that is so great to me is on the breakthecycle.org. There's a section of learn about dating abuse, and I really like the healthy relationship quiz.
Yeah.
Because it seems like a simple way to kind of gauge where your relationship is and the health of your relationship. And it seems like, I assume, I've never been in an abusive relationship. At least I don't think I've been in But it seems like for kids, sometimes they don't even realize they're in an abusive relationship. And I think that tool of the quiz is great because it can kind of wake you up. So as a parent, I suggest you guys, even kids, right? Go on breakthecycle.org, take this quiz. It's looks like 10 questions. Could be more, could be less. But it looks like 10 easy yes and no questions that can help let you know if your relationship is healthy.
Yeah, that actually is something that was created with the thought in mind that first, when a young person is experiencing abuse, they might go to their friend. And even in my experiences, when someone is talking about themselves, they might say, well, my friend is going through this. So the quiz actually says, like, is your friend's relationship abusive? And it asks questions about, does that person have freedom and space to hang out with who they want to? Are they pressured for sex? And that is also a way for a person to kind of, like you said, like, realize, like, if these things are happening, then is this abusive? Because sometimes people don't know, or sometimes people don't recognize. And it's not a lot of overtly abusive things on that list either. It's not like, does a person push you? Because that when we think about abuse, we think about physical. So we don't put a lot of those things on there. But it's a lot of those subtle forms of abuse that have to do with, like, freedom and space and mm-hmm. not respecting boundaries and not allowing the person to really be themselves in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. And then you guys have warning signs.
Yeah.
Some of those warning signs, checking cell phones, emails, social networks without permission. Again, respect of space and independence. Extreme jealousy, constant belittling, explosive temper, isolation from family and friends, making false accusations, constant mood swings towards you. I assume if you're in a relationship, if they have just blow up on you.
Mm-hmm.
Physical inflicting pain, possessiveness, telling someone what to do, and repeatedly pressuring someone to have sex.
Yeah.
Those are many of the, not all of them, but I think you guys are doing such a good job with all of this, and I think it's so powerful. Anything?
No, last time I think you were here, you said something about boundaries and passwords.
Yeah.
Is that one of them?
Passwords?
Yeah, passwords. So that's one of the, actually questions that come up a lot are, like, things about, like, is it okay to share a password? That's something I was actually talking to someone earlier today about that, because they were saying their students thought it was okay. And they were asking, like, what can I say? Because they're really just not convinced that it's not okay to share passwords. And I really like to ask questions. And instead of saying, don't do it, just say, well, what benefit is it to your relationship if the person has your password?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes a person might say, like, well, it shows that we trust each other. But what are some other ways you can show you trust the person? And are there limits? Like, if the person has your password, are they able to just look into your social media or your phone whenever they want to?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have privacy in that way? If the person does do that, then how do you express to them what the limits are if they have it? Is it just a, just in case something happens and you need to get into my phone, or is it a demand? And if the person is demanding to have it, then that's when we look at it as a warning sign.
You guys, well, listeners, Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month is all this month, February. And is it a break the cycle thing, or is it just a national thing where we're wearing orange next Tuesday?
It
for
is
love?
A, yeah, it's a national thing. So next Tuesday is We're Orange for Love Day. So we're asking folks to wear...
The 13th.
Yeah, the 13th.
The day before Valentine's.
Yeah, the
it's
day
done,
before.
I assume on purpose?
Yeah, usually it's like the second Tuesday.
Okay.
Yeah, usually the second Tuesday, because this would be the second Tuesday in February.
So we just wear orange?
Any kind of orange.
Okay. A little bit or like all orange?
It depends on what orange
I'm
you have.
This.
Orange is such a color. Like, usually folks like, I don't have anything orange.
I don't
but
anything orange,
like
but
socks, bow ties, a bracelet. If you have orange writing, you know, on something, it's so many ways. Just anything orange.
Is there
orange
a hashtag
hairbow.
We're doing?
Yeah. So the hashtag is Wear Orange for Love is the one on there, the national one. So you should see like folks from all across the country, all across the world wearing orange. Or if even hashtag Teen DV Month, a lot of folks will wear their orange with that. And then Break the Cycle is doing hashtag Healthy Me, Healthy We. So we will have all those hashtags and wearing our orange tomorrow.
One more time, what was the orange one? Hashtag?
Wear Orange, the number 4.
Okay.
Love.
Ooh. Wear Orange. Wear orange for, don't forget.
Wear Orange for Love.
Wear Orange for Love. Okay. We have a couple minutes. And as you know, Tanji, we like to give you guys maybe 30 seconds to say whatever you want about Break the Cycle, about teen dating violence. Anything you want to share with our listeners, feel free to do so.
Yes. Yeah, so for Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, we are doing our 28 ways you can get involved. But we also have a couple of events that are local to LA. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we have is this weekend, it's called Valentine's and Vino. So we're going to have wine and make some Valentine's Day cards, some homemade ones. So that's one of the events we're having. We're also having an open mic for young people to come and do some poetry and music and express themselves. So Valentine's and Vino is going to be at like a location. It's at a townhouse. I'm looking at the
Okay.
So, but it's on our website. If you go to breakthecycle.org, it's right on there.
Okay.
So there'll be some dessert, some wine. And it's actually in Glendale. That's what I'm looking at now.
Okay.
and it's all about promoting Teen DV Month and raising awareness about dating abuse. So that's an event that should be really fun. And then we also have our open mic, which is going to be in downtown LA at our office. And we'll have some scones there. And young people ages 13 to 20 will be able to express themselves on the mic through like music and song. And we're doing that in partnership with Peace Over Violence, who is another organization here
in
LA.
That's beautiful.
That's great. Yeah.
Sasumi, you wanna add anything?
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately if you want to take a more personal approach, I think obviously come join us at all these events. But in terms of talking to your kids, I think just connecting with them with compassion and empathy and just helping them explore the natural consequences of their own actions. Instead of saying, you know, being with this guy is going to be terrible, try saying, well, how does being with this guy support or violate your personal values and what you stand for? And take it from there.
Could I say, how does being with this guy make you feel?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that totally opens it up for them to figure out how they feel about it instead of like being told. Yeah.
Okay. We only have a couple minutes, but what if I get the response? It's none of your business. You take the phone away. I mean, is there, we continue.
Yeah.
When do we stop?
Continuously do it. You know, like, if this young person's going to be in your life, like, I don't think you ever stop being loving and supportive towards them, you know? So just keep saying it over and over again. Well, I'm here for you, you know, if you ever want to talk. I'm here. Okay, you know, like,
you
what do you like about
up.
This person? Yeah, you really can't, you know? And sometimes it can be frustrating, especially if the person's not giving you a lot back, but just keep going.
Well, I have one more question. I'm sorry. What about for friends? If you suspect your friend is in a violent relationship or an abusive relationship, what would you recommend a friend to do?
You know, I think as friends, we almost have the capacity to have the biggest impact, because a lot of young people, like you were saying, may not want to talk to their parents. I think as a friend, just trying to be objective and help them realize the situation for themselves. I've realized that it's almost not about what you say in response that makes a difference, but helping a young person realize for themselves what they're okay and not okay with, and connecting them to resources. I feel like there are so many resources that have popped up even within the past year or two with the conversations that are happening, like breakthecycle.org that has existed for a very long time, and also texting Love Is to 22522 if you want to talk to a peer advocate.
Love it.
Awesome.
Well, thank you, Tatsumi and Tanji.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you guys coming. Remember, today, this month is Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. We had Break the Cycle. You can always visit them at www.breakthecycle.org. But I love what you guys are doing. I think it's so important. Very, very important.
Absolutely.
So I appreciate it. That's our show for today. We're going to close up. We're going to be here next Wednesday at 1 p.m. And anything else, Taj, Terry, you guys want to add?
No, this. I always learn when you guys are on, so I like it. Not a parent yet, but I'm learning.
You're learning, right? Well, thank you guys for joining.
Thank you so much.
All right, everyone, we're going to be back next Wednesday, 1 to 2. Remember, if you found our program helpful and can afford to do so, please go to DDJF and support the foundation. Any donation amount helps, and of course, you can always just spread awareness. We are here to bring love and light. And that's pretty much it. We'll see you guys next Wednesday. We'll talk to you next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.